Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Brethren, whenever we think in regard to the saints at Galatia, we come to an understanding that they had it all in Christ. These people had been obedient to the gospel, and in their accepting Christ in baptism, they had received the forgiveness of sin. And in this, then, they had a relationship with our God. And because of that relationship with God, now they had hope. They had hope as they walk in and throughout the course of life, of that life which awaits every faithful Christian, that is, in the return of Jesus Christ, that whenever faithful children stand before the Almighty God, heaven will be their eternal reward. These people had that hope. And then, too, as they lived here upon the face of the earth, they received the blessings of God, knowing that God was their God, that He was indeed now their Father, and that their Father listened to them in prayer. God answered their prayers. And God was working through the power of prayer, as well as the laws of nature, or providentially, as what we state oftentimes. And God was working through the Lord's church, through His people. And these people were recipients of the spiritual blessings that are always found in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As a result of their obedience to Christ in baptism, they had opportunities. Opportunities like you and I enjoy and share, to obey God and then to worship our God according to spirit and in truth, to lift up our voices in song to God. These people were able to do that and to learn lessons from God as they assembled themselves together. But then in like figure, they had opportunities to serve God faithfully in life, to reach out as New Testament Christians are commanded to do. They understood, I believe, as what they had been taught, that they had responsibilities pertaining to the church, that they also had responsibilities to grow their faith and to know God on a very personal level, to know Him to the fullest of what we can and what they should have during the course of their life. Brethren, by the time in which the Apostle Paul writes to these individuals, we find is that many of them had been overtaken. False teachers had came in amongst them and taught them false doctrine. And as a result of this, many of them, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 and following, had been bewitched. They had been tricked into believing this false doctrine, these things that were contrary to the doctrine of Christ. And then people got involved in all sorts of sin, taking back steps rather than moving forward. They were walking away from our God. And God wanted the saints, the faithful saints in Galatia, to understand that He was challenging them. He was issuing a charge to them. What was that charge? Good people, they had a responsibility to launch out to those who had and who were turning away, to restore such a one. In fact, that's what Paul states here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a brother be overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, go and restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted. These people were lost. They had returned back to where they were no longer in a faithful state with our God. And therefore, whenever they stood before God in judgment, unless they were restored, unless their sins were forgiven, they were going to be lost eternally. And it was up to the church to launch out to them, to bring them back, to wake them up, to get them to understand the need to repent, and then to live their lives faithful unto Jehovah God. Good people, still today, apostasy is a problem. Brethren, those individuals who have indeed accepted Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, they have confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God, and they have submitted themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, many of them are walking away from God. In fact, thousands each year who have obeyed the gospel turn away from God. And as I stand before you tonight, I ask the question and plan to answer that. Who turns away from God? Good people, more times than not, it is those that we would categorize as new converts. Those who have been introduced to Christ, but yet they maybe do not have roots in the church. They do not have parents who have been brought up in the church, and therefore they are a first-generation Christian. These people do not understand what it is that they have bought into. These people do not fully understand the commitment that they have made, even though that they should have. They do not grasp the depth of all that God requires of them. And for that reason, new converts are being pulled away back out into the world as well as into the realm of denominationalism. Sadly, though, we learn is that sometimes long-term members of the church, long-term Christians fall away. And you say, Kevin, who fits that category? Deacons. Deacons who are responsible for special areas of work in the church. Some of these men end up walking away from our God. But good people, it does not end with the deacons. And like figure, sometimes I have spoken with individuals who have served as elders in the church. And these men, men who are shepherds or who have served as shepherds in the body of Christ, who have helped to lead others to Christ, who have sought to make certain that truth has and continues to be taught, some of these men end up walking away. But then two teachers. Teachers. Those who understand the Scripture. Those who have a responsibility as well as a motivation to sit and to teach children end up walking away from God themselves. And then sometimes even preachers. I remember whenever we were going through the school of preaching, back several years ago, there was an individual that I met that whenever Dawn and I went in as students, he and his wife were second year students. And this individual went down into the deep south and started to work in the church, and he was working with a relatively large congregation for the area, my understanding, of about 150. But yet, for whatever reason, he became discouraged. There were people saying some things maybe that they shouldn't have been saying, and yet at the same time, probably he was guilty of some things himself. And then in this, though, this discouragement led to the point to where he quit preaching the gospel. And whenever I heard that he had walked away from preaching the gospel, I must say that initially I was shocked. But what shocked me even more so than that is whenever I heard that he had left the church and that he had gone out into the denominational world and became a member of some sectarian religion. Good people, who falls away? Deacons, elders, teachers, preachers, people from all walks of life. And in this, why do Christians turn away? Why do they fall away? I believe that it is because of failure. It is, first off, because of personal failures. They fail, I believe, in obedience to Christ in baptism to fully love our God as what we are commanded to love God. We learn in the book of Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37 that God requires that those who come to Him must love Him with all of their heart, soul, and mind. And those people who would turn away from God certainly do not have the type of love, the depth of love that they must have, because if they love God with all of their heart, soul, and mind, serving Him is not going to feel like a burden, but rather they're going to understand that it is a privilege. They're going to appreciate as well as willfully give themselves, as Jesus said in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Why do people fall away? Because they personally fail to love God with all of their heart, soul, and mind. But then two, because of their failure to love God to this level or this capacity, they fail to grow. We are commanded in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That means, good people, that after we obey the gospel, we must continue to study God's Word. And in studying God's Word, then we have a responsibility individually to realize what it says and then to make the application to our everyday walk of life. And somebody says, "Kevin, how long must we continue to study and to grow?" Good people, we must continue to study and to grow faithfully in and throughout the course of life only until we have drawn our final breath. And then it is all over. Why do people turn away from God? Because they stop growing. They stop understanding. They stop developing in the areas of which God commands all people who are going to be His children to continue to strive in. But then too, I believe oftentimes it's because of a lack of repentance. Sometimes I think that maybe we do not understand ourselves, or maybe we do not teach those that are putting Christ on in baptism the importance of repenting of sin and what that means. Jesus taught, did He not, in the book of Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you will likewise perish. As the church was started there in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, it says, and they became pricked into hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter said, his very first words, repent every one of you, and then baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. Look at people, if an individual is going to put Christ on in baptism in order to have their sins forgiven, God wants them to understand that they are going to have to repent. What does it mean to repent? I believe it's spelled out properly, at least to the best, in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 9 through 10. Where it's not that an individual is just sorry that they have been caught for sin in their life, but rather they demonstrate or they exercise godly sorrow. In the book of Acts chapter 26 and verse 20, Luke explains for us is that those individuals who do practice true biblical repentance will bear forth fruits worthy of repentance. People who fall away from God, I believe that sometimes they fail to understand what repentance is, or at least they've not been committed to repenting, and they'll go back out and get involved in the same sin sometimes that they were participating in before they obeyed the gospel, or they will get involved in other things of the world. Why do people fall away? Because they fail to truly repent. And also they fail to truly believe in our God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Hebrews writer exclaims, for those who come to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. To what level must an individual believe in God and in Jesus Christ? In the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 37, whenever Philip taught the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch said, see, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said to him, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. I'm convinced that a lot of times people really and truly do not believe with all of their heart. Or at least if they at some point, at the point of baptism, did believe with all of their heart, they've allowed the cares and concerns of this world and they've allowed the burdens and the trials of life to come in and to rip that belief apart. And brethren, we need to do all that we can to strengthen their faith so that they do not err. But then too, sadly, sometimes it's a failure upon the part of the church. Sometimes we fail to teach as what we ought to teach. We have stated before, and I believe that it was stated even before we came here, is that there are a lot of churches here in the Brotherhood who are no longer preaching and teaching the gospel. They are no longer preaching and teaching the truth. Whenever a preacher stands before a congregation, all he wants to do is to entertain, to fill the time, and to make people feel good. And whenever they go out, they have not been educated concerning our God. Sometimes we fail to teach and to preach the Word of God in season and out of season as what we are commanded to do. And for that reason, we let the congregation down. But then too, not only from the pulpit, sometimes do we fail them in teaching, in our classes sometimes, even from the time in which they are children. We are taught in the Old Testament Scripture in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to understand that responsibility we have as well as the opportunity we have to teach our children whenever they're young the foundation, those things that are essential, the first principles that will help them not only to develop their faith but to maintain their faith and faithfulness as they then mature in Christ. But then in like figure, I believe that sometimes we fail to help them. I wish I had a dollar, especially nowadays, for every time that I've had people call the building or even brothers and sisters from time to time. With the state of our economy here in the United States, So many people are hurting financially. So many people are struggling in so many different ways, and you would be surprised by the number of calls we receive here at the building. People asking, can you help us with this? Or can you help us with our house payment? Can you help us with our electric? Can you help us with our food? And sometimes we have even brothers and sisters, and I'm not speaking in reference in regard to the congregation here at East End, but brethren out here in our community who are members of the Lord's church. And you say, Kevin, how do you know that? Because sometimes they identify themselves as such. And we have, do we not, a responsibility to help them first and foremost. In the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes here in the context, as you therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially those who are the household of faith. And brethren, sometimes people fall away because we do not extend the love of Christ, that we are not there whenever they need an ear to turn to, whenever they need some help financially, whenever they need someone to come and to help them maybe with things that they have going on around the house or things that are bringing them down in life. God commands us to be there. But sometimes we need to be honest. And brethren, in our honesty, we will learn if we are honest with ourselves here. And that is that we fail sometimes in providing the help and demonstrating the love. The love that Jesus Christ had for people, for souls, while He was here upon the face of the earth. And as New Testament Christians, as those who belong to Jesus, every single one of us ought to emulate Jesus Christ, the love of Christ, in every way that we possibly can. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, John, by way of inspiration, states this, "He that saith he abide in Him ought also so to walk, even as He walked." Why do Christians fall away? Sometimes because of personal failures, but then too, sometimes because of failures in the church. And how do they fall away? What is the process? At some point, they want to take their pieces of the puzzle and they want to go and to build their own way of life, to live however they want to live, and to walk away from those of us who are seeking to build up the body of Christ. How does it happen? In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, we understand that we are to take heed lest we drift away. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 6, it is stated as a falling away. What does that imply? Good people, it implies is that it happens gradually. I am not fully convinced that people wake up and they say, you know, today I'm not going to serve the Lord anymore. I believe that it's a process. I believe that more times than not, are there times when people rebel against the Lord and then they do turn away just that quick? Yes. But for the most part, it is a slow and gradual thing. How will we be able to find out or to determine when people are falling away? To people, sometimes it will be characterized in the fact that they are no longer faithful in their attendance. They may have been faithful as Sunday morning and Sunday night and even Wednesday night Christians, so to speak, always here at every opportunity that they had. They may have even sat up here in the front, but over the course of time, months have passed and maybe even years, they've worked their way to the back pews, and I'm not saying everybody sits on the back is unfaithful, but they work their way throughout the congregation, and then before we know it, they're not with us on Sunday nights or on Wednesday nights, and then they'll even miss some Sunday mornings, and even before they know what's going on, they've drifted away from the Lord. It's forsaking. It's what the Apostle Paul said Demas did to him, or with him, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And the same thing that Christians are commanded not to participate in, the book of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It's interesting whenever we look at the Greek context concerning that word forsake or forsaking. It is to abandon Christ. These individuals, as Hebrew Christians, they had abandoned Christ. They had reverted back to Judaism. Whenever brethren turn away from the Lord, whenever they're no longer faithful in attendance, whenever they're no longer living the type of life that Christians are commanded to live, they too have abandoned the Lord. They have walked away from our God. They have been overtaken in a fault, in sin, as is defined and spelled out so clearly here in the book of Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Brethren, whenever these things happen, what must we do? What must be our response whenever brothers and sisters walk away from the Lord? We must do all that is within our power to do to help and to bring them back, to restore them. As is spelled out in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the New Testament church of the first century needed to understand their role and responsibility to those who had walked away. And you and I are no different. We have a role and a responsibility to those who depart the Lord. And whenever we know that people have turned away, whenever we know that people are counted as lost again in the sight of our God, we need to go immediately to these individuals. I believe that that's brought out in the context of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, go. Go in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted. We must go with the gospel and to teach them again of their need to repent. We must go immediately without any hesitation at all. There's been times that I've gone, even here in our community, to people. And I must say that these 95 Bible correspondence courses that we now have going on have opened up a lot of doors, not only to non-Christians, those who are not members of the church, but even to those who are members of the church or who have been faithful members of the church at one point in time. And I know that I'm not alone in visiting some of those individuals. Many of you have even talked about knocking on the door of a male or a female who said, well, I used to go over to East End or to Bybee or to Central or to Mount Leo, but I no longer do that. I had the privilege this last week of going and visiting with our sister Lorena, and in sitting down, one of her visitors, we entered into a conversation, and this is not a family member, but a dear friend of hers. And in our conversation, this lady said, I used to go over to East End. And I said, well, what happened? Where do you go now? She says, well, I don't go anywhere now. And I said, well, why don't you go anywhere now? And she says, I don't know. I'm not sure. It just happened over a process and period of time. And I asked her, I said, whenever you left, and she'd gone somewhere else even after having left here at East End, but I said, whenever you left the church, universally I'm speaking, did anyone come and talk to you about this? She said, no. You're the first person to mention it to me. Brethren, why? Why aren't we more successful in getting brothers and sisters who are erring back? I believe sometimes it's because we allow too much water to go under the bridge. And we need to reach out immediately to these individuals. And in reaching out, and whenever we find out in regard to the sin that's going on in their life, it's not a time for us to spread it amongst the church. It's not an opportunity for us to go and to tell the area-wide congregations or to write it up in a brotherhood publication, but rather to keep it privately, to make certain that they understand that they can confide in us, that they can trust us with the thing that they're dealing with. And in that, then, we need to understand is that it's not going to happen overnight. They're not going, likely that is, they're not going to come back immediately. They're going to need us to be there to give an ear for them to open up to. And we need to understand the necessity of keeping it private, according to the steps of which Jesus taught in the book of Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. But then too, we also need to consider ourselves. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted. I find that interesting, is that sometimes whenever a brother or sister turns away, our initial response is that we just can't believe that they've done that. Especially if they have been a long-standing Christian, especially if they have been involved in the work of the church. And we look at them and we say, how in the world could they turn away? And then sometimes we will look at their sin, the thing that they have committed that has led them to walk away from the Lord. And we might say, how dare they do something like this or that? How could they talk like that? How could they act like the world? Do you remember what Peter said whenever Jesus Christ was getting ready to be crucified? And Jesus says, somebody's going to betray me and someone else is going to deny me. And Peter said, Lord, not me. Lord, I would never do that. I would even dare to die for you. Did Peter mean what he said? I believe that he did. Whenever the soldiers came for Jesus, who drew their sword? Peter drew his sword, and it was a misguided sword. Why do I say that? Because it cut off Malchus's ear. I believe that he was going for the kill. Why? Because he did not want Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior, to suffer in the way in which these soldiers were sure to bring upon him. But what do we know in regard to Peter? He himself, an apostle, one who loved the Lord, one who was always beside the Lord, denied Jesus. And as you and I go to restore these individuals, we need to consider ourselves, lest also we be tempted. To realize that it could be us who is there in their shoes. And therefore, as we deal with them, then we need to speak kindly. We need to make certain that we speak the truth, but in speaking the truth, that we speak the truth in love. And that we do tell them the seriousness of the situation that they are in. That we spell out the seriousness concerning the sin. That now they have separated. They have severed the relationship that they had with our God. With our Creator. With the God who loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son. We need to make certain that we spell these things out to them in a very loving manner, but then in like figure to tell them, not only are you hurting God and yourself, but you're hurting the church. And to express to them our desire, as we explain God's desire for them to come home, to repent of their sins. And we need to help out. In verse 2 of Galatians chapter 6, he says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. In the context of this, I believe that a part of the reason that these people had turned away from our God is because of burdens. In the context, we do not know exactly what these burdens were, but we can deduce that these burdens had brought them down to the point to where they were at a state of hopelessness. And because of that state of hopelessness, they had turned away from the Lord. And brothers and sisters, people that we deal with are brothers and sisters who have walked away from the Lord. Burdens oftentimes have caused them to leave the Lord. And they need us to be there for them. To understand the burden as well as to say, is there anything that we can do to help? And then not just speak mere words, but rather to do all that we can to help lift their burden. I'm reminded of the idea and the fact that burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus Christ has lifted the greatest burden that any one of us could ever have lifted from us, and that is the burden, the guilt of sin. And in like figure now, as children of God, we need to make certain that we are there to help our erring brothers and sisters with the burdens that they face that have weighted them down and led them off course from our God. What is the goal? The goal is always a soul. A soul that will stand before God in judgment. And I am reminded of what is explained three different ways in the book of Luke chapter 15. Verses 1 and following, where we find first in the context that if a lady has a precious coin and she loses one of those coins, yet she has multiple others, she will turn the house upside down in order to find that one coin. And then, too, it is presented here is that if a shepherd has a sheep and that one sheep goes off, that the shepherd will leave the 99 and to go and to find that one sheep. Why? Why will he leave the 99 and go out to find that one sheep? Because the 99 are still there. They are safe. They are being fed. They are growing as what they ought to grow. And it's that one sheep that is out there that is in danger that has separated itself from the shepherd and is in danger of death. And the Lord tells us in the passages there in Luke chapter 15 that our God in heaven and the heavenly host rejoice whenever that one sheep comes home. And it's spelled out again in the prodigal son. When the prodigal son went off and lived his life according to the way in which he wanted to live it, and then finally he came to the bottom of the earth, if you would, and he came to himself, and he realized what it was that he had left back there at his father's house. And he says, if only I could return and just serve as a servant in my father's house, that would be so much better than what I have now. And we find in the context that when the prodigal son went home, that the father ran with open arms to reach and to welcome him home. That's the way that our God is whenever an erring Christian, an erring brother or sister, comes to realize the error of their way, and whenever they come back and serve the Lord to the level that He desires. In the book of James chapter 5 and verse 20, we learn that those who have brought home the one from the error of their way, that they shall hide a multitude of sin. When shall those sins be hidden? Whenever they stand before God in judgment as being counted as faithful in His sight for their life here upon the face of the earth. Brethren, I pray that each and every one here that is within the sound of my voice tonight, as well as all that we have here at East End, will never walk away from the Lord. But too, as I stand before you tonight, if you do, trust that we're going to come get you. Because we love you so much, and the love that we have for you is exemplified first and foremost in the love that our God has for you.